This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
We now continue our conversation with Joel Wilson about what happened after he spoke out last month in a Fairfax News article about his experience transitioning as part of the Australian Defence Force back in 2013. Dina Curie continues reading a statement from the Australian Defence Force.
Defence has implemented a range of strategies to create a safe and inclusive workforce, one where people feel supported at work. These initiatives include benchmarking against other organisations through participation in the Australian Workplace Equality Index, Australia's definitive benchmark on LGBTI workplace inclusion practices and initiatives. In 2015, 16 and 17, Defence was recognised as a top public sector organisation for supporting LGBTI people. Also, establishing the Defence Pride Employee Network, which provides support for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex people and allies of Defence. We did reach out to them, but they were unable to us by tonight's show. Being a member of Pride and Diversity, a not-for-profit organisation founded in 2009, designed to assist Australian employees in LGBTI workplace inclusion practices. They continue that they're committed to an ongoing cultural change program and make no apologies for taking steps to attract and retain the best possible talent from across the community, while also ensuring the Australian Defence Force is a representative of the nation it serves. Defence will continue to implement appropriate policies to maintain a motivated, engaged, talented and diverse workforce. This is critical to delivering on our obligations to the Australian community.
In terms of the policies surrounding gender diverse people in defence, I was actually perfectly within my right to transition. And in terms of defence's policies surrounding procedures being covered, is if it's a Medicare number, you know, if it's an itemised, then it is covered by defence. Just as, so chest surgery, for example, is covered by Medicare, there have been many people who have had chest surgery, or, you know, there are men who have, you know, who have excess breast tissue who will have it removed. There's women who will have breast reductions. There's, you know, so there are lots of people who are having very similar surgeries, and there are a number of transgender people who have had surgeries prior to me transitioning and post. I wasn't actually stepping out of the boxes and stepping out of the rules for defence. It was that my chain of command, my colleagues weren't actually following those guidelines. So, you know, there's plenty of rules in defence that don't necessarily get followed all of the time, and I was unfortunate to be on the receiving end of that. I would say to anyone who was looking at joining defence and was gender diverse to be very cautious. I do know people who have had a fantastic time. I also know many people who have had terrible times. And following the article, I actually had people, current members of defence, contact me saying, I'm having a really hard time, can I talk to you? So this is not just something that happened in 2013, 2014 at the Australian Defence Force Academy. This is something that is quite wide, you know, it's still happening. And I think defence really needs to make some serious choices as to how they're going to tackle this. Because, frankly, I was not looked after. I did everything I could in my power to say, here's the resources within the ACT, here's the guidelines, but there was no proactive prevention implemented to kind of stop any bullying from my colleagues, to make sure that I was being assisted in the medical side of the house. I'd be very cautious. Some elements of defence can be really supportive and others very much not so.
After leaving defence, Joel went through the process of filing a human rights complaint to the Australian Human Rights Commission, but the responses given to him were that defence had claimed that the instances had not occurred.
It was relayed to me via the phone by my doctor that, you know, defence wouldn't pay for chest surgery, just like they wouldn't pay for someone who had gotten themselves obese. You know, they wouldn't pay for gastric banding surgery because it's their fault, you know. And so I was told for a lot of those things that had happened that, oh, well, no, they didn't happen, or that it was my fault that I hadn't gone through, you know, rather than just saying I'm not coping, I hadn't flagged things at the right, you know, like I was sent off to training when my grandfather passed away, and they said, oh, we'll pay for you to go see your grandfather's funeral, and then that didn't happen, and I was stuck in an environment where I was being bullied and excluded, and I was dealing with my grandfather's death. And the fact that I wasn't coping and didn't flag that was all my fault. But there was nothing there put in place. You know, my chain of command, everyone knew what was happening, but no one thought to check in, no one thought, you know, there was no preventative measures. I mean, their mental health prevention is, I think, pretty poor. And particularly when you've got staff members, I think in any workplace, you know, when you've got staff members that have got a lot of things going on, it's really important that you check in on them on a regular basis. So there are a lot of issues, basically, and my mental health at the time was really poor when I filed that complaint, and I said, you know what, it's, you know, I was going to have to go to mediation and with them claiming that nothing had happened, and then subsequently, you know, would have to have had the capacity to take them to court myself, which, of course, as a student, I do not. So after that, I just let things lie, and I thought, you know what, I could keep fighting this and I could keep trying to file complaints or whatnot, or I could just live my life and actually make a positive difference in the world around me. So I decided to become really involved in transgender visibility, speaking on topics like toxic masculinity, tackling gender equity. I run a local transmasculine group in the ACT, and I try and do things that are actually affecting positive change. I tend not to try and focus on the negative things because I don't want that to be the narrative of all trans people. You know, I have, with the exception of my experience with defence, had a really great experience as a transgender person, and I want to really focus on affecting positive change rather than dwelling on the past.
Joel does this through Transmas Canberra, and we thank him for being an advocate in regards to this, an issue that many people don't understand.
So it's a group aimed at AFAB, so assigned female at birth, people who identify somewhere along the transmasculine spectrum. So that can be non-binary right through to, you know, really binary male identity, but with a trans history. So we're a really, really broad group with a broad range of ages from, you know, we have 14-year-olds through to 50-year-olds. There's no real restrictions. We aim at providing social support and networking. We have informative events. We have relaxed social gatherings. It's just aiming at really creating a community within Canberra of transmasculine people.
That was Dina Curie speaking to Joel Wilson.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.